All right, everybody, welcome to another deep dive. Today, we are going to be looking at software architectures.
Okay.
Specifically, monolithic versus microservices.
Yeah.
This is a really important decision point when you're building software.
Absolutely.
It kind of sets the stage for how the project's going to go. We've got a ton of articles and case studies here.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try to break down the most important points for you. So, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, I'm ready to get architect-y on it. I think it's a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
Picking between a monolithic and a microservices architecture, it's really kind of like picking the right tool for the job. And And I think we'll see as we get into it that there are certain situations where one is better than the other. And it's not always clear
right.
which one to use. So hopefully we can shed some light on on that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just dive right in. Let's start with the classic monolithic architecture.
Yeah.
It's been around forever, but it might be showing its age a little bit these days.
Yeah.
What's the deal with monoliths?
So a monolithic architecture is kind of like, imagine if you have this self-contained universe of software. All the components are all mashed together, right? You've got the user interface, you've got all the business logic, you've got the database, all kind of tightly woven together into a single unit.
Okay.
So I kind of like to think of it as a giant cruise ship where everything is on board and everything's interconnected.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are the upsides to this approach? Why would anybody do it this way?
Well, for smaller teams and for smaller projects, monolithic architectures are actually a lot easier to develop, especially when you're starting out. It's very simple because it's just you're building one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier to reason about. And then also deployment is a lot easier because you're only deploying the single unit.
Right.
To, you know, wherever you're deploying it.
Yeah. It seems like it would just be simpler to get started, especially if you're, you know, a small team or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
A less experienced team.
Yeah. And if you're doing something that's, you know, maybe not super complicated.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a lot of moving parts, like, you know, like a small website or something, you know, that would be perfect for a monolith.
Okay. But I'm sensing a but coming.
There's always a but. Right.
Every architectural choice comes with trade-offs.
Exactly.
Right. What are some of the downsides?
Well, the same things that make monoliths easy to manage when they're small can become problems as the application grows. If you need to make changes or you need to update something, as the application gets larger and larger and that single unit gets bigger and bigger, it can be very risky and very complicated to make changes to it.
Okay.
So I like to use the analogy, if you have that giant cruise ship and you need to make some renovation to it while it's out at sea,
right,
that could be a big problem. Like, it can be really hard to make changes to a large, complex system.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking about, like, you know, if one part of that ship breaks,
right,
the whole thing's going down.
The whole thing can be impacted. Exactly. So that's one of the big downsides is it becomes very tightly coupled. And if one thing breaks, it can affect the whole system.
Okay. Gotcha. So now we're moving into kind of the modern approach here.
Yeah.
Microservices. Everybody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the deal with microservices? Break it down for us.
So instead of that one giant cruise ship, imagine we have a fleet of smaller, more specialized boats. That's basically what microservices are about.
Right.
You're breaking down that big monolithic application into these small independent services.
Okay.
Each microservice does one specific thing. It has one job.
Gotcha.
And it does it really well. So, you know, you might have one for user authentication.
Right.
You might have another one for payment processing.
Okay.
Another one for, I don't know, managing inventory, let's say.
Right.
And then they all communicate with each other
to,
you know, to make the application work. But they're all these independent little units.
So instead of one giant code base, it's like a bunch of smaller code bases.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the advantages of doing it that way?
So flexibility and scalability are the two big advantages. Let's say you need to update that payment processing system. If it was all in one big monolith, you'd have to be very careful about updating it because you might break something else. But with microservices, you can just focus on that one service, update it, and you don't have to worry about breaking the whole application. You're just kind of like taking one of those little boats and, you know, making it better without having to put the whole fleet in dry dock.
Yeah, it's like modular, you know, like you can just swap out parts.
Exactly. Exactly.
And how about scalability? You mentioned that as well.
Scalability, that's a huge advantage of microservices.
Yeah.
So let's say you have a sudden surge in traffic.
Okay.
You know, maybe you're running some big promotion or your website just goes viral or something. If you have a monolithic application,
yeah,
you have to scale the whole thing up.
The whole thing, yeah.
Even if it's just one part that's under pressure.
Okay.
But with microservices, you can just scale up the service that's under pressure.
I see.
And leave the other ones alone. And that's actually how companies like Netflix,
right,
or Amazon,
they do it that way.
They handle, you know, billions of requests a day because they can just,
oh wow,
scale up the parts that need it.
Okay. Wow. So it sounds really powerful, but I'm sure there are.
There's always a trade-off, right?
Yeah.
Like managing all these independent services, that can't be easy, right?
No, it seems like it would be a lot more complicated than just having one thing to worry about.
It definitely adds complexity. The biggest challenge is now you have all these little boats and you have to make sure they can all communicate with each other and they can share data and everything stays consistent. You know, it's like you have to have a really good communication system between all those boats to make sure that they're all working together.
So the communication between all the services is really important.
Yeah. You need to, you know, really plan that out carefully and use the right tools and the right technologies to make sure that that all works smoothly.
Gotcha. Okay, so how does a company decide which way to go? Is it just like pick the shiny new thing?
Right.
Or is there more to it than that?
It's definitely not just about picking the shiny new thing. You really have to think about, you know, what are your needs? What are your goals? What are the skills of your team?
Yeah, what resources do you have available?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, for a small startup with a simple application, a monolith might be the best way to go.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be easier to get started. It's going to be easier to manage. But if you're building a large-scale application,
right,
and you have really ambitious growth plans,
okay,
then microservices might be the better option in the long run.
Okay.
Even though it's going to be more complex.
Right.
Up front.
So it's about choosing the right tool for the job, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And thinking about, you know, not just where you are today,
yeah,
but where you want to be in 5 years, 10 years.
What other things might people want to consider when they're making this decision?
I think one of the biggest ones is the skills of your team.
Yeah.
You know, microservices require a different kind of mindset,
right,
a different kind of skill set. You need developers who are comfortable working with distributed systems,
okay,
and APIs, mm-hmm, and asynchronous communication, all these things that are not necessarily
the classic.
Classic, you know.
Development skills.
Development skills, yeah.
Yeah.
So you really need to make sure that you have the right people,
right,
on your team if you're going to go down that path.
Yeah. And, you know, money's always a factor, right? I mean, I imagine microservices,
of course,
might cost a little bit more to get going.
They do usually.
Yeah.
You need more infrastructure.
Yeah.
You need more tooling.
You know, you might need a bigger team.
Yeah.
So it is more expensive up front.
Okay.
But like I said, the benefits, the flexibility, the scalability.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the long-term benefits can outweigh those costs.
Right.
If you choose it for the right project.
Okay. So let's recap a little bit. If somebody is listening to this and they're trying to figure out,
yeah,
which way to go, what are the key takeaways?
Key takeaway number one is there's no silver bullet. Neither architecture is inherently better than the other.
Okay.
It really depends on your specific situation. Understand the strengths and weaknesses of each one.
Correct.
Monoliths are simpler to start with, but they can become unwieldy as your application grows.
Right.
Microservices are more complex to manage, but they offer much more flexibility and scalability.
Yeah. Okay. So it's about choosing the right architecture for your needs.
Exactly.
And also, it seems like technology is always changing.
Always changing.
So yep, staying up on top of all these trends is going to be really important.
Absolutely. You know, who knows what the next big thing is going to be?
Right. Right.
You know, 5 years from now, we might be talking about something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, this has been a really great deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Absolutely. And listeners, here's something to think about. We've talked about monoliths. We've talked about microservices. But what about serverless?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And how is AI going to affect all this stuff? That's something to ponder.
Yeah, definitely.
As you go on your software development journey. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.